This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, who was working the phones last night, because if you know anything by now, if you tune in right at 6, it may not be best for business. We should wait till 6:30 or 6:45 when everyone's truly woken up. But no, we have to start off the show with the very latest for you. And Bobby, last night, the Micah Parsons contract rumors and possibilities started warming up.
Yeah, it's old Terrence Parsons. Boy, I don't know. Maybe we're just hyper-focused on it here in Dallas. Is there any team where we know the siblings and the wives and everything? Cole Beasley's wife, Dak's brother, Micah's brother.
CeeDee's mom.
Yeah, they all have their own like voice almost inside Cowboys community. So Terrence Parsons got stuff stirred up a little bit yesterday by tweeting something about, ooh, the Cowboys are moving differently, and tagged a couple people on
Jerry's
Twitter.
Jerry's a genius.
Yeah, and so he said, just you wait. You'll see. Micah kept his word. And so it's like, all right, well, that sounds like you've got details that something's stirring here. And then last night you started to get...
And that Micah took less money.
Yes. Yeah, like that was the implication of what he was saying. It was like he kept his word, like when he said he was going to take less. So then last night you started hearing some buzz about potential figures or like how close something could be to getting done. And then the more you called around and asked around, either that's all smoke being created from who knows where, or both the Cowboys and Micah's side, I think, are playing a really mean game of poker right now and bluffing pretty hard. Because the sense I got last night talking to people was, nope, we're not close to getting done yet. We're going to work on it. We think this will get done. We don't have any doubts that it will get done, but no, it's not close right now.
And Jane Slater said that as well in her tweet, checking in with three different people, kind of going against this thing being on the doorstep. Meanwhile, Calvin Watkins, who will join us at 8 o'clock this morning, wrote the article, Dallas Morning News, do the Cowboys have a Micah Parsons problem? Some of the things in the article, Calvin mentions lingering concerns about Micah's habit of skipping voluntary offseason workouts.
What do voluntary mean?
Although they're voluntary, teams want the players to volunteer to attend, especially the highest paid, most important ones. Then there's his podcast and social media habit. We remember Malik Hooker publicly questioning the podcast last year. Micah didn't like it. Calvin says Malik's locker was moved after training camp. It was close to Parsons, and then it was put to the other side of the locker room. Did that happen?
Yeah. Now, the excuse here given, or the pushback given, is that he was moved closer to the safeties, and that is true. The safeties are over in that group. They're by that side of the locker. But it was just kind of funny timing given, I think we were there when Micah made the comments at training camp, spoke on the Malik Hooker stuff, and he didn't give it. He was like, no, there's no misunderstanding. It just is what it is, and I'm moving on. And it's like, oh, that sounded chilly. Okay.
Yeah. This whole thing is tired to me. Michael Jordan left the NBA finals to go play golf. he went on a bender in Atlantic City. Like, this is the hardest worker that we've ever seen, the biggest competitor we've ever seen. You're off the clock, man. You're like, who cares about his podcast? His podcast doesn't take energy. If he was playing pickup basketball, you could argue it's worse because he's taking energy away from the team. He's just doing a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. Literally everybody has a podcast now.
Sure.
Or a Twitter account, or they'll do Instagram Live or whatever. It's stuff that would only happen if you play for this team. Like the attention, the articles written about this.
I'll just say this, and we are not a perfect parallel comparison. Our jobs are not a perfect comparison at all to NFL players. But I don't know that you would specifically, but people at this station would have a problem if me or Eric or Sean or anybody around here were doing podcasts, and in those podcasts, they were just commenting on the landscape of people that we compete with, and a lot of times talking about how much they love the people that we compete with, and like, man, they're awesome over there, and like, that would rub some people the wrong way.
Well, I think it's worse in our world because there's like smaller. One or two other competitors.
Yeah, it's smaller.
Right? Yeah, it is a smaller pool for sure. But like
we're bred to hate each other.
Yeah, and like, you know, professional
even
athletes,
though I guess you're supposed to as a professional athlete.
But professional athletes now, it's gotten so homogenized because guys switch teams so often. You know, it's like you're all eventual teammates, or you were friends coming up in the AAU or youth sports world.
There were people who didn't like hearing leading up to a playoff game against the Packers. There were people in that locker room who did not like hearing Micah talk about how great he thought Jordan Love was.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't need to hear it.
Where I thought you were going with Micah's podcast was, and again, the bottom line and the reality to all this is if you're winning and you're dominating.
Yeah, that's true.
It's cool. Wow, you gave us access. We have, you know, we have a Netflix documentary taking place with a podcast. And when you come up short and you don't win big, then all of a sudden you're in it for yourself. The spotlight, that's just the reality of the situation. Where I thought you were going is when Micah talks about team matters or things within the building. If Brian Broaddus was doing a podcast and talking about, you know, some references within this building, I would have a problem with that. The biggest problem I would have, and this is where we need like 5 to 10 athletes to answer this. If Bobby's doing a podcast, which he apparently has launched a new one.
Well.
And it's taken away from this show, then I have a humongous problem with that. How does Micah Parsons, is Micah Parsons not watching the film on the iPad at home that he's supposed to be while he's getting his rundown sheet from his podcast producer? Is Micah Parsons skipping his training session? Is he taking away from his work as a Dallas Cowboy? The evidence on the field would absolutely say he's not. He's right. The best player on the team. He's a future Hall of Famer. Now, could he be doing more? Are people just jealous? Is he shortchanging his football career in any way by talking into a microphone? That, to me, is the main question. Malik Hooker seemed to think so. Tank Lawrence, cheap shot that it was, he seemed to think so. And I would put a lot of money down that another teammate or two would probably think so. Yeah. Whether they're right or not is a different matter.
It's a different matter because like it could be sour grapes. Like they could just be jealous that Micah can be this good and not put in the same hours as they do.
And look.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There might be. Is Micah Parsons beloved in the locker room? Like, people may not love, like, just Micah Parsons, the person. The talking that he does, the leader that he's supposed to be. If Dak Prescott's a 10,
mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons is a what in the locker room?
In terms of likability or leadership?
Rank both.
Let's
go likability first. You don't have to answer. It could be an impossible question.
Not close to, if Dak's 10, it's not close.
Yeah.
It's not close to there. I don't know that I'd put a specific number, but there's a gap, a noticeable right. gap. Leadership-wise, I think, you remember that when T.O. was here, or Chop, I know you'll remember this. When T.O. was here, they talked about how it was not everybody in the locker room didn't follow T.O. The problem was that there were some who, like, exclusively followed T.O., and then there were others who didn't follow, like, right. didn't want anything to do with it. I think at times there's a little bit of, there's not a clear, for some guys, it's like Jordan Lewis, DeMarcus Lawrence, those are our team leaders, and then there are other people, it's like, well, Mike is my leader. That's my leader.
Yeah.
Like
we know
Diggs,
that Diggs.
I think, yeah, exactly. Diggs. Right. Golston, I think, was that way in a lot of ways. And I think there have just been guys that way. Micah deserves a lot of credit for, I think, maturing in a lot of ways over the last year. I think he handled things generally over the last year really well, and that's what you kind of expect the older that somebody gets and grows into the those leadership positions. But there is still, I think, just the idea of you are great. You are the best. So, like, imagine how you would be if you did have some of the extra hours put in at the facility. Like, if you would have been here for all the offseason stuff and learning Zim's defense, would you have, in the first month of the season, had just your one sack? Or would you have been wrecking games because you would have had everything down instead of learning?
So, if Dak's a 10 worker, Micah is a...
5. Average. Just kind of an average, I think.
Oh.
Like, I think, I don't say that as like a...
Even though he comes in looking superhuman and obviously a burst and speed.
Yeah, I think he's a freak. I just think he's like your league average type of worker, I think.
Okay.
Is a fair way to put it.
Okay. That's interesting.
I mean, like the talk in the article, like they seem to have a problem with him going on vacations and stuff. Like he's in Southie, as Peyton would say.
Saudi.
Saudi. You know, he went to the Middle East.
He's eating a lobster roll.
Yeah, to eat a lobster roll. you know, like, what do you want him to do? Like you don't want him to go? You know, like he seems to, if he doesn't make voluntary workouts, I don't care about voluntary workouts for edge rushers. I'm sorry, I just don't. Those are for the quarterback. Those
and they are voluntary.
It's and like, they are voluntary.
It's like my, it really is like my paternity leave. Yeah. It's like, you can do this, right? You could take the time. Well, if you take the time, my dad, Brian Broaddus, others, they're going to guilt you. What's the technicality of it? Micah Parsons technically doesn't have to be there. Like, Aaron Rodgers probably should have been there as the New York Jets quarterback.
I have a much bigger problem with Rodgers now.
But what if you're installing a brand new defense, new defensive coordinator? You probably should be there as well. But if you're also trying to send a negotiation message, you should stay away.
There's some gray.
We're talking about Micah Parsons being extended last year.
Right. So here's how I look at it. The defense being installed is one part of it. The second part is like when you draw the analogy to your paternity leave. Like when Brian's doing the guilt trip thing.
Yeah.
Imagine the way Brian has guilt tripped everybody. If then Brian took 8 weeks off of paternity leave after he lectured everybody else. That's kind of what Micah did last year. Where Micah was, I'm the leader and like, we got to have guys who are here. But, and then he didn't show up.
Let me ask you this overall question. With all the noise surrounding this type of stuff. Again, Micah Parsons, some reporters thinking a contract extension is very close. His brother dropping hints. Micah was true to his word is all I'm going to say. Which is more or less credible? The noise around Luka's issues here or this?
Wow. Well, I think both of them are fair, but also not proven in the dirt, as Witten would say. Like, yeah, Luka might, you know, enjoy a hookah.
Hmm.
He might enjoy a beer or seven. You know, he might not have abs. He might have one giant ab that looks like just a beer belly.
Yeah.
He got you to the NBA final. Like, he's still there. Yeah.
Like, I think Luka's issues are actually worse. We're talking about a podcast. Unless Luka's so much more beloved as an individual in the locker room behind the scenes versus Parsons.
Luka's issues would be more physically.
And the referee stuff to me, too. The complaining, the defense, the hustle. Right.
Luka's issues would be more physically challenging to reach your peak level than Micah's. Micah's issues are a podcast and skipping voluntary workouts. Because you have to prove to me, if Micah's not doing the podcast, that he is on his iPad checking out film in that hour.
What else?
And the likelihood is that he's probably not, because that's like an hour off, as he would say it. And he's just taking that hour off and doing a podcast with
him. They're both things. Like, both of those things, Luke and Micah, they are both things worth noting and worth paying attention to and worth probably trying to address at some level. But both of them are not a good enough reason to say, well, let's trash all this. That's where the Mavericks screwed up. That's where the Cowboys aren't going to. The Cowboys aren't going to say, well, let's just toss all this out then because he's doing this. That's an irrational reaction that the Mavericks had that the Cowboys won't.
Well, to me, it's not let's not sign him to 40-plus a year because of the podcast. It's this would be a stupid team-building decision. That's the bottom line answer for that. If we heard that Micah Parsons was traded in a blockbuster, that we're not going to give half of our salary cap space to seven players. That's stupid.
Well, and it's also the idea of...
It's not stupid if they all stay healthy and ball out.
For instance, you probably had some questions or some maybe red flags about paying Diggs. Like, those existed. And you did it. And in the 2 years since, you maybe have said, maybe some of those red flags actually ended up showing us why we should have been slower to make a deal here.
Yes.
So that's, the thing that the Cowboys would be the only thing that they would look at is like, is this a big enough thing? Is this a seed that's going to grow into something bigger? Because on its own, if it just stays as this, we can live with this. But is this going to become something that's more of a distraction? I think that's what they're trying to figure
out. And all these teams always ask themselves, what happens to the guy after they get paid? What's the saying on that, Choppy? After someone gets paid,
you find out who they really are,
or it's magnified.
Yeah, you like money just magnifies your true personality.
So Calvin Watkins asking, is there a Micah Parsons problem? The majority of the Twitter feedback I saw, oh man, the Cowboy fans, just when you think they're divided and going to break. No, there's a Joneses problem. Media campaign smear. What are you being fed, Calvin? How much are they paying you? Calvin will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. A thriller at the AAC for your Dallas Stars. And Chris Young goes and adds a starting pitcher to your Rangers. That's next on your home of the Rangers with Sean and RJ just getting started on The Fan.
Harley now hits right circle. In front, poked away. Follow up, score! Grandland!
Victory Plus with the audio. A huge 2 points for the Stars as they beat the Ducks in overtime 4-3. Good morning, Metroplex Hump Day Edition of Sean and RJ. You are live in the 6 a.m. club on DFW Sports Station. We got a PBR ticket giveaway for you coming up next hour. So the win extended the Stars' home win streak to 8 games. That gives them 8 straight home wins for the first time since 2006.
That's surprising. That seems low. That seems low. But it was, you know, look, it was a good win. How about the most exciting play in sports happening? You had a penalty shot happening during this game at the end of the second. I think it's the most exciting play in sports. I can make a good argument on that one.
It's better than the soccer penalty kick.
That's too easy.
Yeah.
The soccer, goalies have a chance. The goalies have a chance in the NHL on stopping a penalty shot. Soccer, it's like you're just guessing.
Play at the play, it's awesome.
Play at the play, it's awesome. Yeah. Good triple's really fun.
Final buzzer beating shot that we're hopefully going to experience in a few hours.
Got one last night. That's exciting. I think a split the defense. I was thinking the first off the top of my head, the Bo Nix pass that he had this year, split the defense. I don't know why I thought of that one.
It's one of the two. It's either the penalty shot or Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, the two
most exciting.
But there's a handful of them. That's up there though.
Anaheim had won the previous two games against the Stars this season, and Thomas Harley, with the absence of Miro, has taken his game to the next level. A goal and 2 assists, 25 and a half minutes of ice time. So that is 19 points in his last 17 games played. How good was Harley during 5-on-5 play when he was on the ice? The Stars outshot the Ducks 15-2, according to Natural Stat Trick.
Oh, yeah.
So Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk, letting us know a different website and reference to refer to over Bobby.
Over Money Puck.
Well, I mean, the Ducks were 55% to win last night on the deserve to win meter. So,
And they did get some. They did get some news yesterday on Miro. He'll be out. They think through. Could be out through the first round of the playoffs. So that really stinks because I mean they're not going to win the cup without him coming back at some point. That's just the reality of it. He is so good. But they do get a good win and they get Tampa coming up. And I'm so glad. And I know. I'm so glad Anaheim return to the old school duck logo. The orange, I'm not loving the orange. I don't love it. I kind of like the purple and pewter or whatever the hell color they used to have with it. But the duck logo's back, and that's what matters.
The Stars are now 4 points up on Colorado, who was idle. So Fresh Spits and Suds recapping this game is also available now here on 105.3 The Fan and wherever you get your podcast. The Texas Rangers and Chris Young, they got a little mini crisis when it comes to the starting rotation. They go and add left-handed veteran Patrick Corbin. 13th major league season. Now, he went to Washington and he got the money.
Oh, yeah.
6-for-140. Two-time All-Star. He's a horse. Only pitcher in baseball who made 31 or more starts in every full season since 2017. They placed John Gray on the 60-day IL to make room on the 40-man for Corbin.
Yeah, and when he got to Washington, he was a pretty solid pitcher, and he saw his ERA in the low threes for the first couple years there. But it's been in like the mid-fives and the mid-sixes, depending on the year ever since. It's clear he's just not the same guy. So, was it a bad signing for the Nats? I mean, I don't know that you could say that. I mean, they won.
Well,
they won with him.
I mean, over the last 5 years, Corbin has led the National League in either hits allowed or pitching losses each of the last 5 years. And sprinkled in there, he also led the NL and earned runs allowed three times and also gave up the most home runs in 2021. So he will get hit around, but he'll give you 180 rubber arm innings.
Yeah, he'll give you 180, a lot of run innings, but
The most hits and earned runs last year in the bigs.
You're not stranding him.
Just missed the losses category. He was going for the triple crown.
You're not stranding him out there. Now look, is this insurance, right? It's a cheap insurance policy that you hope you never have to cash in, because you hope that Rocker and Leiter take the place of John Gray, right? If they have to for the 60 days.
Sandler with a John Gray update. He said the Rangers received good news from a wrist specialist. No surgery or plates needed. The Rangers hope he's back sometime in June. The initial fear was post-trade deadline.
Ooh.
So that would be good news if Sandler is on top of it.
If he's back in June, it's great news. Now, you could come to a situation where whoever replaces him, Rocker or Leiter, is nails. And now you have a good problem on your hands.
Boy, that'd be great.
Yeah, now you have a really good problem
on your hands. And if I could pick one of those two, it'd be Leiter. If I could get Leiter to be nails, that'd be just awesome, because I trust Rocker's got the stuff to eventually work it out regardless. Leiter's the one that I don't know what he is.
Well, he might be your closer.
Rangers power rankings. Where do they stand right now throughout Major League Baseball, and where do you think they stand in the American League on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053.
Yeah, The Athletic has their preseason MLB power rankings out, which generally I think, Chop, you've had them where? Round 6 or 7, you felt like, is where the Rangers were heading into the season, potentially?
I think they're 2 in the AL. Dodgers, Braves, Phillies, Mets, 7, 8.
Okay, well, let's go down the list and see how long it takes us to get to the Texas Rangers. Number one on this list, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are playing baseball again this morning.
Man, Fox didn't even send their announcers.
They didn't?
They're doing it from a studio.
What?
Yeah, because they're like, this game is not for the U.S. fan. Like, it's not at 6 in the morning. It's not 3 in the morning L.A. time.
Then it shouldn't count.
We're doing this literally just for the Japanese baseball fans. So, like, it's not important.
No Smoltz, no standings. If you're putting it on Big Boy Fox Channel, then you send them. Then it is important. Let's get the game on, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's on FS1 today.
Number two on the... Here, I'll let you figure out the little remote there. Number two on the list, the Atlanta Braves.
Guide.
219.
The Atlanta Braves are number two on this list. Number three, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Boy, this is NL heavy so far, and that's the team that you beat in the World Series a couple years ago.
Wait, three was the Diamondbacks?
Number three is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They said, if you're surprised by their showing here, they did miss the postseason last year after all. Ask yourself, who deserves the spot more? Phillies, maybe. Mets and Red Sox after their 9-figure additions, perhaps. But the Diamondbacks had the best offense in baseball by several metrics last year, and they added a legitimate ace in Corbin Burns. So that's where they're heading with that one. Number four, the Philadelphia Phillies. We're still waiting on an AL team. Number five, the New York Mets. Number six, finally an AL team. It's the Boston Red Sox.
Wow.
Seven is the Yankees. Eight, the Houston Astros.
Nine. Astros.
Yep. Nine, the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh.
And finally, rounding out the top 10 just ahead of the Seattle Mariners is your Texas Rangers with a 40% chance at making the playoffs, according to The Athletic. This is their write-up. They say one of the hardest teams in baseball to nail down, if not the hardest. To buy into them fully, you have to buy into Jacob DeGrom being healthy, especially with Tyler Mahle and Cody Bradford ailing. You have to assume good things from their youngest players, especially the mercurial Evan Carter and some of the aging hitters.
Mercurial.
The Rangers could win it all, or they could finish six games under 500. That's what they did in the past two seasons, with the caveat that it's a lot easier to do the latter than the former. I think that's, don't we all kind of feel that way with them right now? Where it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they went on another crazy run, and I also wouldn't be surprised if they got so banged up that they were below 500 again.
I could totally see a title, and I could totally see 75 wins.
I mean, honestly, that's there because they are the most. I'm trying to think of a team that's similar to them in recent history, not even in baseball, just in sports, where you're like,
the injuries.
Well, if they're healthy, like where you're just asking that question consistently of just like, well, yeah, I guess if they have, I don't know, the Angels, you felt like in recent
years. The Angels, I never thought were any good.
But that's the thing, the Angels were never healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to, I can't think of anybody that's has as much riding on, well, we're just crossing our fingers and hoping everybody stays healthy.
By the way, the Dodgers are putting it on the Cubs in the fifth inning. Shohei has gone deep. So it's 6-2 Los Angeles in Japan.
Did he make them stop down the game and have everybody actually just like take off their hats and tip them to him? And
actually, he did make them stop down the game because they had to review the home run.
Yeah.
See, I was right. Look at that. I was being a sarcastic jackass and I was right.
Yes, you have lost the Shohei argument. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. So 10, is that way too low for you?
I mean, look, at 10, it's not way too low because I had about like 7.
Is 5th in the Eighth? AL too low?
Yes, 5th in the AL is too low. Boston's not the best team in the American League. The Yankees are the best team in the American League, and the Rangers are the second best team. And then you want to have an argument about, I think Houston's going to take a major fall up. I think Houston is there on name. I think they forgot Baltimore got kind of poached in free agency this offseason. They're putting way too much in the Garrett Crochet signing for the Red Sox. I really like the Walker Buehler signing. I think that could wind up being one of the signings of the year. I think that they did a great job getting him. But do you trust him? The guy gets a Tommy John surgery every third year. Are you trusting that?
So there it is, a little Diamond Cavs on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. A random NFL note, Brandon Graham, longest tenured Eagle ever, retires yesterday, had the press conference. I love Filthy, love all the fans, blah, blah, blah. And he also said he's going to miss talking all that smack and all that S, and his number one target was wearing number 4.
I'm gonna miss it, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it in practice too. Like I'm gonna be a part of something that they got going on, where you know I could come in and even if I'm just coming to practice, doing something to help wash and doing something. I wanna. I'm gonna always tell the old lineman what I would have did if I was still out there.
Do you have a favorite trash talking moment with somebody from another team?
Anything with Dallas, man. I mean, I'm always talking stuff to Dak. Dak be cool out there when we have our back and forth. But I like I like Dallas games, and of course, big games that you need playoffs. But if I had to say, Cowboys is always going to be number one.
There are a few Eagles players that you kind of just you hate that you kind of respect them a little bit. Brandon Graham's one of those for me. Where Brandon Graham just consistent, steady, cool. 15 years, just do everything. He's like the defensive Jason Kelce for me. Not Fletcher Cox, who's kind of a jerk at times and like punched Zach Martin in the ribs on a play one time. But Brandon Graham, I always had a lot of respect for him.
Astronauts landing and the JFK files are out. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Ross. Professional Reed in for Peyton Phillip Russell, who is on his way to Boston with the fiance. Creating a viral moment yesterday. Hopefully you heard it. And Bobby putting it out on all the fan social media accounts, including the Sean and RJ page that you can follow on Facebook and Instagram. This is DFW Sports Station. You're part of the 6 a.m. Club, and we want to hook you up with the PBR ticket giveaway starting at 7:20 this morning. Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News, his Micah Parsons report. He'll join us at 8. It's a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman, 8:20 on DFW Sports Station. But Choppy, yesterday we had astronauts landing, and late last night, President Trump, true to his word, the JFK files released.
Yeah, and I don't know what to believe because this is the problem with AI that it has created. I don't know what's real and what isn't.
You know how you could figure it out?
Read all 80,000 pages?
Uh-huh.
Well, what are you debating between?
Well, there was... No, first of all, the second problem...
That's my big number one problem. I'm like, okay, who do I trust to go through all this? But come on, all you news organizations are lazy. When I go to the New York Times and I go to CNN and say, what we've learned so far. If this was a Jerry Jones piece that dropped, we would have had all 70,000 pages read for this morning because...
I gotcha.
You read them?
No, I'll tackle it today.
But they're all with a so far update. What I've gathered so far is nothing major.
It's largely... They released all the Warren Commission report, which you have your own take on the Warren Commission report.
Michael Lombardi, I thought he would go through it, but he's busy carrying Bill's water in North Carolina.
He's trying to find out find the next Lawrence Taylor.
He's trying to find the next beach pose for Bill and his
oh my gosh.
Girlfriend to do the helicopter or the airplane.
The airplane, not a fan?
No. He fell 6-7 spots down the coach rankings all time with that photo.
Who's the most hard ass person you know who has melted like this in your life?
Good point.
Or in sports, anyone that has just melted like this publicly or privately if it's within your circle?
I don't know that there is one. Like, I genuinely can't.
This is what you said would happen to me by having a daughter, and Bill's doing it right now by having a daughter.
It's slowly. It's slowly happening to you. It's like that. It's like that Colorado River just slowly cutting away at the Grand Canyon. You'll get there. Yeah. You're getting there.
And what's the latest evidence you've seen of that?
It was probably when you went into your Jamaican accent while we were in India. Okay. You're like, Ava.
Okay. That's yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of it is the Warren Commission.
There's one guy who said, I think that the FBI or CIA was involved. I'm paranoid over it.
Right.
And then, he turned up
dead 6 months later. Yeah. And he said that he mentioned Lee Harvey Oswald by name and that he would be killed, but the CIA was behind the whole thing.
They're like, get Oswald some more protection. Yeah. They didn't.
And a lot of people are saying the whole thing proves that Oswald acted alone. Which that in and of itself is impossible based on the evidence that we have and the evidence and the video, because there's no way he could have taken the kill shot from behind, and the amount of shots that were reported versus the amount of shots that actually happened, or you would have to prove or believe the magic bullet theory.
Which
the laws of physics deny.
Okay, I don't buy it. I would say that you can't say with certainty, like, it didn't happen that way. Like, there is enough there. Like, one of the things they've discovered in recent years where their miscalculations came were when they said, oh, the bullet would have to do all these different things. Well, they were actually in, like, jump seats. So Kennedy was up higher and a little off center. And so the whole trajectory people had, like, misjudged for forever. It was actually, like, a fairly straight line when you look at how the magic bullet was allegedly supposed to go. But
the issue is the exit wound.
So, I mean, the problem...
And the fact that they use two different bullets.
The problem that, like, well, I mean, that's the... So, there's a lot of issues here in terms of, like, where they found the other round. Like, oh, it just fell out on a gurney. Here it is. The number of shots... I don't think the number of shots people hear is enough. You've been down there. When you get down to, like, that area and you just hear noises bouncing off of those buildings, you can get confused with it. But...
You get confused.
I agree. I don't think that's what happened. But I also don't think you can say, like, definitively it's impossible.
The one thing that always threw me off about it is the first shot, the magic bullet, if you will, went through Kennedy's, like, neck and then through the governor and everything. And then the other one, when it hit Kennedy, it exploded. Those are two different types of bullets.
Well, one's a hollow point.
Right. So in the same, you're going to put two different types of bullets in your same gun.
Well, I don't remember.
You know what I mean, it's just, and then one's going to come from the back, and then one's going to come from the front, because the one that comes from the front is the headshot that explodes out of the back of the head. That's where I just can't get down with. He acted alone.
The wildest theory I've seen about that is there was some guy who said, "Oh yeah, everything was fine." The headshot, the final kill to Kennedy, it was a Secret Service agent behind him who was scrambling to grab his gun and turn around.
Yeah.
And they floored the gas and his gun went off and he accidentally shot him. That's what happened.
So what's your appetite level for like consuming this in your free time?
I tried last night. I went through about a dozen pages.
Oh, you started reading the actual.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Like when you go to the website, it's like each link is like one scanned page. And I don't know how anybody got anything done in 1963 because that print is awful. That font, I mean, my eyes, I was like blowing it up my phone. It was just, all right, I can't do this.
My wife was streaming the astronauts being saved and landing outside playing with Ollie. And I had it on TV and I didn't care. I know everyone said, oh, it was really cool watching it land into the water. You know, I'm sitting there listening to analysts and news people try to fill time by bringing on former astronauts. I guess my biggest takeaway, my two biggest takeaways, number one, they have to get an immediate medical evaluation and the wobbles that they all have coming out because they're not used to, you know, gravity and walking. So you get put in the wheelchair, you get put in the bed for assistance. And then a former astronaut said, yeah, there's about 4 months of BO just stored up in the little vessel. He goes, you get used to it, but when you breathe that fresh air, when you land back, you know, in America or on Earth, it's very, very refreshing. But about 3 or 4 months of BO stored up.
I was over at, I had to pick up the kids for prize. I was over at my mom's. Of course, she had chores for me to do. Can you paint the ceiling for me?
Oh, my.
There's like a stain, like from a leak that they had fixed. And then she asked me to paint the ceiling. I was like, Emma, and I hear.
So did you paint it yesterday?
It took 2 minutes, right? It was just a.
So she has the paint.
Yeah, it was just a little strip. So I hear Aunt Surrection say, 9 minutes! They're going to land in 9 minutes. It's on the TV. And I was like, I got to go, guys. I got to go.
Did someone come by a key Elon SpaceX vessel? Like they're doing there's this DFW video of a guy just walking by a Tesla and keying it as they're getting lit on fire and shot at and everything. So the Elon praise was there yesterday. But I would think that you would have stuck around for this coverage, that you'd be interested in this.
No, I would have, but they got so excited about it. I was like, I just can't do this. Not with you two.
When did space exploration or space travel stop being interesting? What age for you?
I only like seeing the rocket take off. That's it. That's the only thing I care about.
Yeah.
I don't care about seeing the parachutes. I guess, you know, is it going to land softly in the water? But years and years ago, I still do think it's cool watching the rockets take off.
I'll tell you this. I do think the rockets... Watching those, the SpaceX land and get caught by that claw.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
So, do they just go up there with like 10 years worth of food just in case? Because
I think it's powdered
they
food,
got
right?
stuck
it's,
up here for 9 extra months.
Yeah, I think it's that like, are they MREs? MREs?
Yeah, it's like little powdered food and Tang. That's what they get.
Maybe that's what Tracy Morgan consumed because yesterday Tracy Morgan came out with the hospital bed photo saying what happened in Madison Square Garden where he was puking all over the floor and bleeding from his nose was a result of food poisoning. A bout of food poisoning. And my immediate thought and question was, has food poisoning ever made you throw up? And some people came back with very graphic. Ross is shaking his head yet. I said, did food poisoning ever make you bleed, not throw up?
Oh, yeah. Throw up.
No, definitely not that.
Yeah. And some people came back with very graphic bottom end descriptions, depending on what type of food you eat. But other people also pointing out, hey, man, he's also had the kidney transplant, 2 weeks in a coma after a car crash. So who knows? But Tracy said, thanks to MSG for taking care of me and cleaning up that puke. More importantly, the Knicks are 1-0 when I throw up, so maybe I'll break it out again in the playoffs.
I could see having such violent vomiting that it would cause you to have a nosebleed.
Like vessels?
Yeah, like cause my eye will do that. Like I'll get my eye to have like a really big red spot in the middle of it.
Like the strain from it?
Yeah, the strain from it. So I could see if you're already prone to nose, like my son... He gets no. Luka gets nosebleeds like every day.
Maybe he wants to go play at Michigan.
Maybe he wants to go play at Michigan.
That's a good one.
That's a real good one. That's a good guy. Had a nosebleed every day.
Happy Gilmore 2 coming out July 25th, only on Netflix. How excited are you for this? I'm in. This is part of Adam Sandler's just exclusive Netflix deal, and this thing is going to blow up. Trailer came out yesterday.
I hesitate to say this.
Oh, no.
No. I'm not going to trash it. I just hesitate to say this because I know it'll have people melting down. I don't think I've ever seen that movie all the way through.
What? Even Ross
turned the mic on.
Like, I've seen, like, I've obviously seen, like, different scenes from it, or it's been on TV or whatever. I don't think I've ever sat down and watched the whole thing.
That's unfortunate.
Robert. That's very unfortunate.
I know.
I'm going to go into this like the Kennedy Falls. Like, no expectations, because it's been so long.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about it. But when it's been, like, 20 years, you know, like, how
is that old? How long it's been?
At least.
Yeah, it was 1997.
Yeah, so it's the golden age of Adam Sandler. So, yeah, 90s.
28 years. So, like, these guys are so much older now. They're going to look so different.
Well, I mean, isn't everybody going to be, like, I mean, obviously it's the...
Who cares how different they look? As long as the same people are in there and you're like, hey, oh!
Yeah, it's the
nostalgia.
Just
thinking to myself, who's dead? That's who's it. Dead that who's won't dead? Be back?
The guy with the nail in his head. That guy does.
It's the nostalgia angle, I would assume. It's just like whenever they do these reboots, like 20 years later, like, we're bringing back iCarly or Who's the Boss? Or, like, we're just recycling those shows. Also, I think everybody's going to be interested, like, what cameos are they getting?
Yeah.
Who's going to pop up in here and give us a good cameo?
I saw Ben Stiller, Eric Tiafalo's favorite, Paige Spiernak, is apparently in it as well. Yeah. I would not give a movie review, Eric, if I were you.
No, I wouldn't even see it.
I wouldn't even. Yeah,
I was howling with laughter.
Cancel your Netflix. Eric should cancel his Netflix.
That's an even better point. 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line to hit us up on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station. The madness got started last night. RJ Choppy is going to help you plan tomorrow and Friday so you don't even have to take off of work with the beginning of the NCAA tournament. That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.